This is The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer-Kent. Thanks for joining us on the Ideas Network. McDonald's has announced it would raise wages for non-managerial positions from $11 to $17 an hour. And Chipotle has also announced it's raising pay. That restaurant aims for an average of $15 an hour by the end of the month. We are talking about the meaning of minimum wage, and we're taking it in context with a broader economy where millions are unemployed, yet businesses are struggling to find workers. What do you see? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. Do you make minimum wage right now in Wisconsin? How would a pay increase affect your life? Maybe you run a business. How do you decide how much you can pay employees? And can you bump that up? 800-642-1234. There's a line for you there. Or you can email ideas@wpr.org. Joanna Marinaska is an assistant professor of economics at the University of Pennsylvania. She's an economist who studies the labor market, and she's here to help us break it down. Joanna, welcome to the Ideas Network.
I'm happy to be here.
Help us understand what the economic benefits are when businesses raise the minimum wage.
So very simply, when businesses are trying to hire and have difficulties hiring, one of the things that they can do that is most straightforward, I think, for our listeners to understand is simply to pay people more, because that makes the job, whatever the job is, much more attractive. And therefore, they will have less trouble finding workers when they're paying more. And for McDonald's, we have to remember that other companies, other big companies that hire workers such as Amazon or Target or Best Buy already committed to $15 an hour minimum wage, and therefore McDonald's has to compete with those other companies that oftentimes were paying more, and that would make it harder to hire. So now they're following up, on some of those minimum wages announced by others, which will allow them to hire more workers.
But once you do that and you raise all of those wages across different organizations, aren't you in a similar starting place then, just $5 an hour higher, where the competition is much closer?
Well, you are raising the wage. That means that you're able to, from a business perspective, these companies are doing this because overall it makes sense. That means that on balance, what they're able to make as far as their profitability is better with this decision than what they were doing before. Because again, before, the problem is they were having hiring difficulties. And this is not the limit here, is it's not arbitrary, is how much the worker ultimately is worth to the company, how much the worker contributes to the bottom line. A worker cannot be paid more, basically, that's what basic economic theory tells us, than their contribution to production. And what that means is that before these increases, many workers were likely paid less. They were paid less than their worth, so there was some room to move up. That's what the increases really tell us.
What are the reasons businesses resist raising that minimum wage?
Right. So the key reason here is that the businesses naturally prefer to make those decisions depending on the particular circumstances of the business, because it makes sense for some businesses to raise wages. It might be the best strategy, again, given what other competitors are doing and they can afford it. So they want to definitely do it in some cases. In some other cases, it's not necessarily clear that, they need to raise wages to attract more workers. Maybe this job where they are already gets enough workers, so they prefer to keep wages low and make more profit and not be forced to raise wages. So for businesses, it's always better to have the choice whether they want to raise the wages because they really need more people or keep the wages low and make more profit, and it works okay this way. So that's why, again, it makes a lot of sense for businesses not to want to have the minimum wage increase. The businesses that want that are those that already pay really high wages, so it doesn't affect them. It only affects their competitors who are paying less and potentially annoying other companies who pay less. So again, from a business perspective, it kind of makes sense. They just want to have the choice whether they want to raise wages or not.
We are talking about the current labor market with economist Joanna Marinaska, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We're wondering, what would raising the minimum wage, whether federally or just at different companies where you might get a job, what would that mean to your family? Maybe you run a business or you have to make hiring decisions and salary decisions. What goes into that? And what do you think about this move that you're seeing companies add dollars per hour to employees' wages? You can call now at 800-642-1234, or you can email ideas@WPR.org. Ioana, it sounds like then that when you see Chipotle and McDonald's and Amazon, you know, we also heard last month Olive Garden upped its pay to at least $10 an hour for 20% of the chain staff. It sounds like these companies will afford it because they just will make less profit off of each person that they're employing. How are they going to account for that? Or are there other areas where they're going to have to make up for this when they pay employees more an hour?
Right. So they are going to make less profit if they don't change anything apart from mm-hmm. that. And, you know, McDonald's, I want to point out, had things in place that allowed them to underpay workers, such as preventing workers from working at other McDonald's franchises without authorization. So this way they would limit competition between different McDonald's, not allowing them to poach workers. So what's going to happen is that, first of all, they will make up some of the lost profits through decrease in hiring costs. Again, they're able to hire more workers without putting in the effort to search. And importantly, workers are less likely to quit because the jobs are better. And one of the big costs of business in this kind of industries is turnover. I mean, it's very expensive for workers to always quit. You're always trying to hire another person. So some of the cost is being recouped simply by having people stay longer in the job, and that often also allows them to do a better job. So it's not completely a loss. And then the rest, well, it really depends on the specific of the situation. In some cases, they might raise prices a little bit. It really all depends on the specific market that the firm is in.
Sure. So they're trying to balance what they can do for employees while still making sure that they make a solid profit. We've got Joanne in Madison ready to join our conversation. Good morning, Joanne.
Hi, good morning. My not concern, but I feel a little mixed emotion about the whole thing because I have worked for my current employer for the past 30 years, and I started at about $9 an hour. And I only make about $18.50 at this point. So there's this pull at me that says the minimum wage actually, or the wages, should have been going up over the past years.
Right.
Overall, you know, it's so ridiculous. For myself, it comes out to be about 25 cents per hour per year increase.
That you're thinking about. Joanne, thank you for bringing that up, because that is a challenge for workers. Joanne's story, Ioana, people have worked in jobs. They haven't seen the kind of increases. And now suddenly companies are saying we're going to add lots of money to people's paychecks. That can be difficult to process. What's the economic side of that?
Right. So it turns out that wages have increased very little since 1980 once you account for the cost of living. And I'm talking here about the wages of average people have increased very, very little. And while at the same time, the productivity has increased a lot. And again, the productivity is essentially what workers could be paid. That's, you know, what they're contributing to the firm's bottom line. And so what's happening here, what we found in economics, is that a lot of the reason for that is that there is rising inequality, and essentially a lot of the pay increases, instead of going to your listeners, people like your listeners that, you know, she just spoke, are going to CEOs and top executives in firms. And so that's, we found, is a big reason for what's happening here, that people aren't getting raises, most people, most ordinary people, but top, you know, managers and executives are. And that's a big reason behind this trend. And so right now, by raising the wages at the bottom, they are finally, companies who choose to do this are a little bit rebalancing things as far as how they pay employees at different places in the pay scale.
What's the minimum wages relationship to poverty in America as you talk about inequality increasing?
Right. So many people who make the minimum wage and are working are still below the poverty line, depending, you know, how many hours a week they are working. And therefore, research shows by Erin Dubé, for example, that raising the minimum wage will reduce poverty. And the reason is that there are very few job losses. You always fear that if you raise the minimum wage, it's going to lead to job losses. But that's not the case typically. And therefore, the main result is that the people who are working minimum wage get a pay bump, and that then reduces poverty.
Ioana Marinescu is an assistant professor of economics at the University of Pennsylvania, and we're talking about the minimum wage and the broader labor market here on the Ideas Network. You can join the conversation at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about rising minimum wages? What do you want to say about how the federal government manages this? Do you think that there's something here that can help remedy inequality? Or do you see challenges with the idea? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. I'm Keely Boltina. This discussion continues here on The Morning Show. Companies in Wisconsin and around the country are looking for workers, and some big names are saying they're setting their minimum wages higher than the government requires. It's just one incentive to lure workers as those businesses struggle to fill positions. We're talking about it here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina. Our guest, Ioana Marinescu, is helping us break down what's going on in the labor market. She's an economics assistant professor at the University of Pennsylvania. And we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. Kimberly in Fox Lake is thinking about this. Hey, Kimberly.
Hi, good morning. Thanks for taking my question. So, there are these people that are taking minimum wage. They're, like, in the affordable housing. As the minimum wage increases, I don't know if that's going to bump them out of that affordable housing bracket, because then their rent is going to go from, like, $400, $600 a month to they're probably in a place next to their work. It might be a nicer part of town. It's going to go up to, like, $900 or $1,100 a month. How is that? Are they going to look into, like, rental affordable housing brackets? Are they going to adjust those accordingly?
Kimberly, thanks for bringing this up. Ioana, I hear Kimberly thinking about this from the worker's perspective. It'd be great to make more money, and if they don't qualify for protected services anymore, it could actually cost people money in their personal lives. Do you see that?
Right. So indeed, it's possible that people could lose benefits in some cases by making more money. So that's something that has to be taken into account. But still, on average, typically, you still make additional money. Maybe that's reduced by your benefits that you might lose. But on net, most people make additional money. Now, the point that the listener brought up is about rent. And you know, the point is that if wages raise, potentially it could be that the rents that the people who have these wages could raise as well, you know, increase. And that the critical thing there is to make sure that there is enough supply of units, of, you know, houses and apartments. And because if there's not enough supply, what we know from economics, if there's a fixed supply and there's an increase in demand, meaning more people are willing to pay more for housing, then prices go up. So we have to make sure through urban and real estate development policy that there is enough opportunity for developers to build more housing as well as potentially more public housing, so that, you know, we don't experience potentially these increases in rent prices, in rents that are due to more people wanting to get better housing.
We have Lindsay in Westby who's on the line now. Good morning, Lindsay.
Good morning. My question is in respect to if there's any analysis on if there's health care and dental benefits, long-term disability, and life insurance. I know as hourly wages increase, if there's no benefits, then people have to purchase that insurance. But if there is benefits, that's one reason employers keep those hourly wages a little bit lower, especially if they offer 100% premium coverage. So I'm just wondering if there's a correlation here with benefits.
Lindsay, thanks so much. And before Ioana weighs in on this, Austin in Lafarge has a similar point. Hey, Austin.
Hey, yeah, West he is just down the road, so he must be thinking alike this morning, but wondering how a lack of benefits play into the value of an increased minimum wage, and just wondering if there's a risk of an army of part-time workers that then employers don't have to provide any benefits to, and if this minimum wage increase will kind of be for naught.
Austin, thank you so much. Lindsay, thanks to you too. Joanna, what about the issue of benefits?
So benefits, if people don't have benefits, then raising the minimum wage is clearly a good thing, because that allows them to purchase plans, you know, on the open market, and they have just more money to do that if they choose to get a new plan or a better plan. If the company already has benefits, then it's possible for the company, we're talking about cost savings, it's possible that companies will decrease the value of those benefits in order to make up some of the lost money that they do by paying workers more. So that's something that employees should always be looking out for. If there are things that are happening that the company is now shortchanging them in other ways, even while they're paying higher wages. And certainly that is potentially a margin of adjustment for some employers.
So something to certainly pay attention to. Thanks so much for those calls at 800-642-1234. Joanna Marinuska is here. She's an economist who works at the University of Pennsylvania. She studies employment and productivity and economic security. Joanna, Wisconsin companies, 50 Chamber of Commerce's chambers of commerce from across Wisconsin, they sent a letter to Wisconsin's governor to end federal related unemployment benefit programs. They're saying that additional benefits for unemployment during the pandemic have meant that our state economy is having trouble bouncing back, that people aren't applying for and taking some of the jobs that are available. What's your take on that? Are these increased incentives an incentive for people not to work?
Right. So I actually have done a study on this. And what the study shows is that indeed higher benefits decrease job applications. So that's certainly the case. However, you have to consider the broader picture. So at the same time, higher benefits mean more money in people's pockets and therefore more customers for all these businesses. So there's that side of the coin. Furthermore, if there's not enough jobs out there, it doesn't really help to have more applicants. And that was the case last year at this time. Now this has changed, right? So it can be the case right now that benefits contribute to companies having some trouble hiring. But I want to remind those companies that these benefits also mean customers, you know, for their businesses. So it's certainly a balance to strike. So one thing that I would suggest is to consider, changing the way that the benefits come and allowing people who go back to work to collect the remainder of the federal benefits. So this way, the people who, you know, still can't find a job, they still get the benefits. However, when you go back to work, you don't lose anything essentially, because you get all the remainder of your rights to the federal benefits. So this works as a bonus for people who return to work. Oh, okay, I'm back to work. Right. Now I can immediately get all the rest of the benefits I would have been eligible for if I didn't go back to work, the federal part. So that wouldn't cost Wisconsin anything extra. This is just the federal benefits that the worker would be entitled to.
Interesting. From your perspective, how much of the labor shortage is caused not by those benefits, but by the stimulus payments that have come out? Has that affected our workforce?
Right. So I think the key is that the stimulus payments don't have a direct impact on work, because they you keep them even if you're working. So that's the key thing that people have to understand. So the only reason why the stimulus payments could impact work is because they allow people to avoid crappy jobs, essentially, for a bit. Right. But there's no direct disincentive, because, again, even if you take a job, you still keep the stimulus money. However, the way that it does contribute to the shortage indirectly is because, again, as I was saying, it stimulates consumption. So more people are out there going to restaurants and buying stuff, and that means that the restaurants and the retail places have to hire more people. So in that sense, it does contribute to the shortage simply because it stimulates the economy.
It's all quite complicated. As we look forward, where do you see things working for the United States economy when it comes to labor?
Right. So I think, you know, this is a transition phase where hiring is picking up big time. So naturally, since the applications aren't going up at the same time, it's hard for employers. But eventually things are going to normalize. And I'm very optimistic that come September, you know, when essentially everybody's vaccinated and schools are reopening, because that's another obstacle for people to go back to work, for mothers in particular. So schools will be open, people will be vaccinated, and the benefits anyway end at that point. So I'm very optimistic that come September, things will be looking really bright and up.
Perhaps we'll have to check in with you then. Ioana, thank you for joining us today.
Thank you.
Ioana Marinescu is an assistant professor of economics at the University of Pennsylvania. She's an economist who studies the labor market and looks at crafting policies that can enhance employment, productivity, and economic security. Ahead on The Morning Show, we talk with the new chief medical officer and state epidemiologist. She's here to answer your questions about Wisconsin's response to the COVID-19 pandemic and discuss her goals for the Department of Health Services. Stay with us. I'm Keeley Boltina. News is next here on the Ideas Network.